This is a session with Nelson, recorded on April 28th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:22 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
Great, we're good to go, Bob?
Ion? Go.
Okay, great. Ion, how's everything going?
Bubbly!
Great. Well, I'd like to try and get through one of the equations in the first part of the session, and then I've got some couple questions in the latter part. So we'll
That's wonderful. Okay, that's wonderful. Here's what let's do. Let's run through it, and here we go. You've listened to us a bit.
Yep.
You're sort of getting a handle on this process with the whole big
yeah.
picture. Do not make this be the linchpin of how your single tree attaches to your double tree. This allows you a way of feeling the place of your power. Once you have this knowing, it's one more little elemental validation. Some may say a Kodak moment. Okay? Don't make it be the reason for living. Because, you can. But if you do, Nelson, it won't be many moons till you'll be calling Bob, setting a session with us, saying, hey, Ion, what is forever for?
You're saying it won't be too long before I get, I want more.
No, it won't be long until it's self-deprecating. It will devalue the place of power that you're just now gaining.
Yeah, you'd be bored with eternity.
It dilutes bliss.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, when you have the secret.
That sounds ridiculous because you're like, yeah, give me that opportunity. Yeah, I'll enjoy that for a little while. And you will, but it won't hold.
It'll tetrad. If you're looking for the secret to life, you'll get it, and after a while, it'll get boring.
Yeah, I see. The diluting bliss was a good
yeah.
analogy. That was good. Okay, so I was looking over the last, listening to the last session and going over the equation, and I think I screwed up a couple things. I think I've got the. I don't think I have the precise Maybank rate.
The exacting Maybank rate. You asked about precision, and the more precise you are in your angles, the more precise you are in your math, the more precise your A2 value shall be, and that's achieved, Nelson, just by playing with it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we have an example. You don't know this, but in the world you could adjust the contrast and the vertical buttons on your television set.
Yes.
And you
twist
that button to make it spin one way or to resolve in a cathode ray tube place.
Yes. Yes.
All right. The first time those were out, that was just ridiculously silly hard. People would twist it too much or go too high, too low. Oh, no, 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 no. But after a little bit, with a little practice, you could do it with just pinpoint accuracy. Even like on mixing boards, you got the big mix, and then you got a fine-tuning button.
Yes.
When you play with this a bit, then your fine-tuning will get it precise. But that's no problem, but just so you know, play with that a little bit. It'll help you.
Okay. Well, today
bug in.
Okay, so today I've got 3 points that are all closes of a day candle from all the pairs. A is the GU at 1.60049. B is the Aussie CAD at 1.0020. And C is the Euro Swiss at 1.29858, all from March 29th, 2011. Okay, so one thing I realized is if you pick a yen pair and you use a yen pair with the other pairs, the yen pairs are like so much larger in number that they don't really work that well. It may work, but it's just a pain to chart, to plot.
Just reverse them. If you got yen dollar and it's too big a number, then do dollar yen and it'll be a little bitty number.
Oh, okay. So, for example, like right now, the let me just find one. Right now, the euro yen is 121.011.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. So, what would the you're saying? Do it yen euro.
Yeah.
And that how would I flip the number?
Well, you just take instead of putting it in yen, taking. Well, if okay, let's go simple. The first currency, is that the one you're buying or selling?
That's the one. If you're buying, you're buying the euro. If you're buying euro yen, you're buying the euro.
Okay. So, and if that number's too hard to work with, if you revert it and go yen, go euro yen, then you're buying euro with yen, correct?
Yes.
So it would be a different number, wouldn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, just flip it that way.
Yeah, make it be the primary currency because you're just trying to get a pair. So if one doesn't work and the number's too big, if you changed instead of selling yen to buy euros, you're selling euro to buy yen, vice versa, ever how that works, then that's fine. And here again, this has to do simply once you start sort of calculating what you're calculating, you'll know how to adjust that. For example, the yen is very volatile now because of the potential dead zone, okay? So that would be a radical affecting the whole wide world. So that would be a fun currency to work with SC because that's the horizon that's changing. I mean, do you realize that one little accident, one little earthquake, one little thing now has affected the entire nuclear energy business?
Yeah, it's
That one little thing on that tangent has reset the entire mystery landscape regarding how nuclear energy is even considered, thought of. Remember, everybody in the world was going nuclear, 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 nuclear. Now, even the highest board members of Southern Company are shivering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Because the liability alone makes it incredulously stupid to be in the energy business. Where before it was the way to go because the PSC gave them blank checks or big guns to collect their money checks.
Yeah.
So now the PSC turns the big gun back on Southern Company and says, you are culpably responsible for any accident, danger, or issue that comes along here. And we watched AIG when that happened, little things like that in the financial world happened not too many moons ago.
Yeah, that's true.
The police can point their gun either way. And that's why this timed element has to do with emotion, which sometimes now here's Bob's going to fight when you start talking about an emotion being a frequency or a wavelength. It will change your justified, Papa justify, the justification of how an emotion fits into a new horizon.
Uh-huh.
Because you can have one emotion and have that emotion in a landscape of hell, and that may be still delicious. But you could take that exact same emotion in a heaven, and it may not be enough. It's kind of like, come on, this is heaven. I ain't supposed to get rejected in heaven. And then they look at you and say, wait a minute, if we were to have relations with you in heaven, that wouldn't be heaven for us. You see what I'm saying? So that's still a frequency.
Uh-huh.
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So that's the fun. That's the interplay. Now,
okay.
we don't want to be esoteric. But we're trying to get you to the jux to the matter. So go ahead. You're doing fine.
Okay. So, I've got a now set. I want to try and do this one without moving my decimal places. Okay.
Okay.
So the C point is 1.29858. So I've got to mark my tangent, my B1A1 tangent, correct?
Not based
because I've already established the values. I've already plotted the triangles, and now I need to establish the B1A1. Okay, so it's 1.29. So could I just make my B1A1 tangent at 1?
Yes.
And then divide it by 10? Pretty much.
You're taking one block and then dividing that block by 10?
Yes.
And so, okay, fine.
What I don't understand is I understand why you'd move your decimals on everything and make it much bigger. I get that. But when it comes time to
It won't be necessary. That won't be necessary. Once you know the actual formula, your lucky box will do this for you. But we defy you, without sighted knowing how to count the number of intersection points between two tangents. Your processor does not establish the second tangent. So that's why the visual is key to making the lucky box not stroll that off. So if you do it without having this visual down exactly, you're going to know exactly what the price is going to be, but that's where you are now, because it could be 1 minute, 1 year, one millennia. You see, now you're just got a formula to tell which the statistical probability of which horse will win. Well, it will win one time, but is this race the time?
Yes, exactly.
That's the point. So getting the visual is important. Once you get that, you watch the event, correct?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen the excerpt that Bob was talking
That's
about.
That's right. See, once you get good at it, just like what you're talking about, when you can see it, you're looking at the stone, you're looking at them angles and off of cone tangents where chords are pulled, and there's lots of them intersecting and interchanging and working out. And he's got these little domino chip things, tangents, and he says, well, it looks like me and Mr. Walker are going to meet. And he's got it in his hand, he's looking at it, calculating something, and he lays it down and he says, puts it down and says, soon. Bam. See? Because it's visual.
Yeah.
It's visual. That's the point.
So this is going to be another 10-day lookout period. It makes sense because we're dividing the 1 by 10 anyways, you know what I mean?
Perfect.
So, and conveniently enough, when you do the sine A cos A, sine B cos B, two intersection points land in the triangle.
Good.
So, now, let me just pull this up so I know what my next step is. Okay, so plot all intersection points between AB and B1, A1 tangent. Okay, there are two.
On that, you're only doing one at a time.
Yes, I'm only doing one
at a
time.
Yeah, okay. You said that, right? We just didn't want to say yes to that. And you go, well, Ion, you said take A, two of A and two of B and multiply them to get. No. They're individual. So, yeah, good.
Okay, so now I multiply.
Now, granted,
so
you can check your work when you start pulling those sines and cosines, because those angles will add up to 180, won't they?
I don't know if they will.
Well, they should.
You mean the three, if I add up the three pairs?
No, the three angles. You're pulling sine and cosines from the angles, aren't you?
Yes, but the angles
okay.
are basically the pair prices.
Well, are they? You're plotting them linearly as a flat geometric value of a triangle, but from the sine function, it would have to be inclusive of the angle itself, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, the sine, from the sine function perspective, it is 180.
Yes, that's right. And that's just the point. And the reason we say that is so that you'll know it'll work every single time.
Okay.
So if you, and then if you get a queer number, you can check that aspect right there, and then it'll be, oh, well, that's why, because there's only 163 degrees of angle in my triangulated position. You see?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
a little that's a little place to check, because you were asking, JW got a little something in the where you were off a bit. You were very close, but not precisely exact from the rate. Well, if that was exactly precise and you were still off by a quarter point, then you would look at your justified angles of your sine cosine waves. It's a little way to check.
Okay.
That's why your little teacher says, Nelson, show your work. Well, the reason was if you didn't get the correct answer, she'd know where you were screwing up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're saying, too.
Okay, so now I'm going to calculate. I call this AI1, so it's the intersection points for A inside the triangle.
Fine.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just trying to...
No, we're good. You're good. We like that. You want to be very precise, label everything so that there's no confusion with what you are speaking.
So
that's
I've
the difference
a, so
between
the,
an accurate teacher and a slob that knows stuff but can't tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So my first intersection point is 0.4907 and 0.7071. So I times the XY coordinates, correct?
Yes.
So I times, I have to take, so multiply the X and Y and divide by the total number of intersection points between the AB and B1A1 tangent. Okay, so I've got to go 0.4907 times 0.7071, correct?
Mm-hmm. Those are the two plotted points of the intersection of a sine cosine wave of that angle, yes.
Okay, great. So 0.4907 times. Why is 0.7071 so prominent in all this stuff?
Because you have to check your angles. You have to check your angles.
Which equals 0.3469.
Many frequencies.
Yep.
Many frequencies. Okay, so that 0.7, is that your pitch, your frequency, your trough? You're saying it shows up.
It's on
which
the
place?
Y-axis. So it's the trough or the peak and trough. Is it 0.7071?
So you're saying it extremely shows up more times than others?
Yeah.
Well,
like my...
then look. Okay, now think about this. Now this is not sound. You get it? This is not sound. But many times when a sound is heard, it absolutely affects the trough intersection points, wouldn't it?
Oh, you're right. Most of what this is affecting is lateral movement.
Exactly. Because, you know, everybody, we won the war. Well, on that trough, that's just going to move the benchmark up. We lost the war. Oh, that's going to change the vibration, so it's going to lower. It'll raise the benchmark that we got the same number of pennies that we did, but it's worth less. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because, see, that's the fun. You can't do currency without doing pairs because it has no value substantiated. There's nothing pegged against anything else. It's just nefarious numbers. Until you peg it against another currency, then you have an established rate of exchange.
Exactly.
Okay, now, but others would say, Ian, what the hell are you talking about, Eunice? You know, cause,
yeah,
but
exactly.
You get the point. It's got to be against something for it to have a value.
Yeah, exactly.
The
so
same way the newest thing that people are working on that you should probably be interested in, well, maybe not, but it's likely so, is that gold is getting such an incredible price that it's very soon to meet the platinum price.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore,
yeah,
then, of course, that triangulated position would certainly be swap the gold evenly for platinum because there will be a huge space between them very soon.
What's going to fall?
Gold always has, but then again, it's only met the same price a few times in all of your recorded history.
How high is it going to go?
Triangulate it, big boy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to answer that way. Okay, I will. I'll try that.
See, but now, Nelson, now that's the point. See, our work is to get you into your power. We don't want to become more powerful than you. Now, okay, you may say for a second we know everything, so we're more powerful. But that's fleeting. See, baby, we want you with the knowing, not just to know how to know. We want to know. And if you know, then all of a sudden you're like, man, I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm going to do this. And then all of the heavens start rejoicing and going, yes, he's got it now.
Well, ultimately, you could argue that the greatest power that you've got is to allow me to come into my power.
Oh, and now some would say, now, if you get into Zen Buddhist, that makes us the master. And the only way that works for us is that we already are more of you than you are. See, so if you look at it that way, well, all we did is, it's your bourbon whiskey, we're just the glass.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So now you don't judge the bourbon by the glass, do you? What is like?
No, you don't. Well, the best bourbon could be served in a shitty glass.
Okay, c'est la guerre. Okay, very good, very good, very good. But that's the point. You see, you don't gauge it. You don't pass the bourbon because of a not appropriate glass. You get over that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
See, so you see how that's working. So even even in a Zen Buddhist world where it's kind of like, well, you're still less than because the master is more powerful. It's not that way because you are indeed the master.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so after I've got to divide, I've got those two answers. I've multiplied X and Y, but now I've got to divide by the total number of intersection points between AB and the B1A1 for each one separately, correct?
Beautiful, yes.
Okay, so I start by taking this and dividing it by. Now, would I divide it by... There's only one intersection point in between the two tangents based on my A point. Like sine A, sine B produced one intersection point between the tangents. So I just divide by one.
So your trough is outside your peak, so your trough is in between the two tangents and your peak is outside of it?
Oh, no, the peak's in between. Oh, you're right. The trough is also in between.
Now, see, we could have let you put your dick in the dirt over that, but we didn't. We got you to where you could notice that there is an intersection point there, even though it's a very small space. So good.
Now, let me just see that. Oh, you know what? It starts the only intersection point.
You start your wave, sine starts at the pinpoint of where the A value is plotted, the cosine starts at -1, 1 behind it, don't forget, you're plotting the waves.
Yes.
Come on, stay, you got to get, because otherwise you're right, see, you're going to, okay, we see what you see, so we're with you.
Right now, there's an intersection point. Just above, all above the x-axis, are the only ones that intersect between the two tangents.
Now, your x-axis, that's the new imaginary straight line from A over to, it's a straight perpendicular line from AB over to B1A1. That's what you're calling that x-axis of plotting the wave.
I mean the horizontal line that is the x-axis of the
sine wave of A.
Like when I plot the sine wave of A, let me just graph it really quickly. The coastline starts the coastline starts at -1.
Correct.
And then it goes up and makes its peak pretty much at the y-axis, at my y-axis.
So it's still inside that axis, is it not?
Yes, and then it
okay.
makes its first, it only intersects once between the two tangents.
Okay. So you have, in between your two tangents, A, B, B1, A1, you only have one trough.
I only have, just two, between my tangents, I have pretty much two peaks, no troughs between the two tangents.
Okay, see, that's fine. So if you have
It's so small, right? It's because our numbers are so small.
Right.
But relative to the waves, it's correct, though, isn't it? Like, shouldn't they be this size relative to the waves?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so I only have the one. So sine A and cos A produce one intersection point between the two tangents.
Mm-hmm.
So I divide by one. Now, pardon?
No, easy. The total number of intersection points, you multiplied the x and y value, and that's the only thing between the two tangents. So then you divide it by one. Is that what you're saying?
The only intersection points based off of A is one.
Okay, good.
Now, should I be dividing by total intersection points based off
yes.
of A and B?
No, just of A.
No, just of A. So, yeah,
just
one.
Of A.
Okay, and same with B. B just divides by one as well. There's only one intersection point.
Okay.
Okay, so, now is that correct?
Well, run it.
Okay, I'll finish running it. It's correct from this standpoint.
It would be correct if you've run it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
so
now that they're both over
now,
one.
But now, there typically would be more than one intersection point.
In between the two tangents.
Yes, but we're not saying that there would not be a position where there would only be but one. See, we're not saying that.
Uh-huh.
But it's odd.
Okay. Now, do you think that's because of the perspective? It's because I haven't made them larger numbers?
No.
Okay.
So you're plotting of your waves.
It's the plotting of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, for example, these are the cos, or let's just say, the sine times 1.60049 has a peak at 1 and a trough at 3. Okay?
Okay.
So my C is 1.2985. So, like, my C doesn't even encompass the spans of a peak to trough.
Okay.
So, basically, what you're saying is my waves aren't vibrating quickly enough as they're plotting.
Your waves aren't reconciled within the angles of your triangled position.
my waves aren't reconciled within the angles of my triangle's position. And I should be in radians, correct?
That's correct, from this way. That's right. That's correct. If you're doing it that way, radians is the way to do that, yes.
Okay. So, like, the equations I should be plotting are sine, open bracket, 1.60049x, close bracket. That's my first equation.
Okay.
And that's what that's the result, that wave. All right, let's move through it and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I would take those two numbers divided by one are those numbers, and then I place those and divide them by each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I place one. I place 3.34697 over 0.55422. Now that's going to be a. Does it matter if the number on top is smaller than the number on the bottom?
Wouldn't, no, not necessarily.
Okay, I should just follow through and do it like this.
Well, yeah, because see, then once you get it to know, then you'll know. But there are occasions when that certainly would be the case.
Okay, so the answer is 0.62605. Okay, now I need to divide that by the Maybank rate. Divide the Maybank rate by that.
A over B equals?
A over B equals?
Yeah, you get, mm-hmm.
But because it's positive, I put the Maybank rate above it, correct?
Whoa. The answer is?
Oh, point.
You found your new value of A, and then you divided that by B, and then answer is
0.62605.
So it's still a positive number.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So if it's a positive number, then
if it's a positive number, I place the Maybank rate over it.
Okay.
Let me just, and I'm going to put in the month that March to find the Maybank rates.
That's
so
you know, fine. That's fine.
So, oh, it lets you put in the exact day. Let's see if we can get the exact days right. Oh,
three. That's exactly why you're using Maybank, because they're exactly a day ahead of you.
Oh, search results for 29th of March, 11th. Gold rate, Malaysian government. MYR deposit, what's that? Is that what I want?
Well, if we say yes and you don't know what that is, you wouldn't know. So
MYR
you should find MYR and say, oh, yes, that's it. And we'd say, well, Nelson, if that's the deposit rate, then certainly it would be. But if it's how much hookers cost in Kuala Lumpur, maybe not.
Okay, so how should I indicative? What's MYR deposit? Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah, I gotta. MYR deposit. Malaysian ringgit is the currency for a country of Malaysia. Okay, that's their currency.
Do.
Okay, so so that rate, that MYR deposit is not what I'm looking for.
Well,
I'm looking for the, or is it? Let me just think about that. I'm looking for the.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking for the deposit rates. So, an Malaysian money would be what they'd be basing their deposit rate on. Okay, so here we go. So 1 month. Oh, they only give you the month. Okay. So 1 month is 2.75.
In ringgits.
In ringgits.
Okay.
So maybe I should... Okay, so should I try the calculation for a month?
No. This is the point now. Think about this. If they're giving you an interest rate in ringgits,
yep,
that's great. And if that's what you're going to end up, that's going to have an effect on A2 in ringgits, don't do a thing. You got it. But if you're actually in dollars and you want to end in dollars, then it would have to be in the confines of dollars, would it not?
Yes, it would.
If you stroll down to the Royal Bank of Canada and you have Canadian dollars, they'll pay you one interest rate. And if you stroll down to the Royal Bank of Canada and you have U.S. dollars, you can have a U.S. account, could you not?
Yep.
Those interest rates are not the same, are they?
No, they're not.
Neither are the ringgits in the U.S. dollar.
So should I be looking for Maybank's certificate of deposit rate for U.S. dollars?
Or you could very easily find that information out and decide which one suits you, because it makes no difference. If you do it in ringgits, then you would just convert ringgits back to dollars, and it should work the same. See the visual aspect, Nelson, that's kind of critical here? You got to know what you're working in, so when you find out, you'll know what you got.
Okay. So
you got to know what currency you're working in, so when you get that currency, you'll know what you got.
This 2.75 is a percent, correct?
Yes.
1 month, it's 2.75%.
Yes.
Return.
And is that on a one-month yield or a one-year APR?
One-month yield. Let me just see that.
Look again.
See, there they write it. They have the repo. They have 1 week, and they have something called repo listed. And it's 1.75, but then at 1 month they label it FD, and you've got the fixed deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And under the fixed deposit it says 2.75, but for example, 12 months is only 2.85.
Right.
So is that 2.75 based on? What the hell is that? Why is the variance between a year and a month so small?
Well, exactly. And why would you fix a deposit for a year if you could make the same amount of interest for a month? It'd be better to make 12 individual deposits rather than one fixed for a span.
Yes, exactly. So basically what you're saying is this 1 month rate is a per annum.
APR yield, yes.
Okay, so in order to find the right rate, how should I be getting these rates?
Well, simply said, spoken, is you ask somebody, as if you were buying a certificate of deposit, then you'd know exactly how much they're paying.
So I basically have to call. Every time I call,
or
it doesn't go.
Find some way to access the information. You can find out exactly what time Kate Middleton emptied her bladder. You ought to be able to find out a bank's published interest rate.
Yeah.
So, good.
All right, I have to get some more. I've got to do some more research and try and find that.
Yeah, just play with it. Don't make it to do over it. But you're asking non-physical, hey, non-physical, is there any way I could find if... Okay, let's set it this way. If the bank that's in question will not give you their interest rate that they pay interest upon, if you can't find out what the interest rate is, how in the hell do you think they're going to have any customers deposit money checks in their bank? You're supposed to lay money, drop money by the door, and let them know and let them decide how much interest they're going to pay you. The information is available. You're just not close enough to the information yet. But that'll change. Don't fret.
Okay. So what should I use for the purpose of this calculation, the 2.75 divided by, like?
Well, do the one most logical for you. But at the end of this session, you're going to be right where you were at the end of the last session. If you're off a bit, then you're off a bit by your exact calculation of your Maybank rate. Just
okay,
so you
so
know.
Last...
And see, that's not a problem. That is not a problem. But then you'll know again, that's where your lack of preciseness would fall. But if you're just trying to get an average price, that wouldn't make any difference, you see.
Okay, so what should I do with the one-month rate? It's 2.75. Should I divide it by 30 days and then times by 10 to get my 10 days? Or is that an actual, is that 1 month actually per annum and I should be dividing it by 365?
Okay, based on what you know, which is most logical?
Based on what I know, I think that the per annum is more logical.
Then go
with
that, baby.
I don't know anybody giving 2.75%
right. of money. You're exactly damn right. Exactly right. Now, if you find that it's the case, that's very valuable right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so let's
I mean, Grandma ain't getting 3/4 of a point on her money, so you found out something right there, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then it's 0.075 is the rate per day. No, per 10 days. Let's just do that again. 2.75 divided by, should I be dividing it by 365 for the year? Or
APRs would be inclusive of 365 days,
okay.
Isn't it? Now, see, you know where we would go with that. Y'all made up this false premise of time. Is a year 365 days? No. But see, now that's splitting hairs, but it isn't. It varies. That's why you had to have leap year to even reconcile to make your false premise work.
Yeah,
but that's
exactly.
Stretching it. But it's still the case, but that's a stretch. Are you with us?
Okay. So
think about that a second. Okay.
The answer, the answer to this is 0.07534 is the 10-day rate.
Fine.
So I would put the Maybank rate over my number because it's positive, correct?
Okay.
Is that correct, though?
Well, do it.
0.075342 divided by 0.62605. Okay, so 0.075342 divided by 0.62605. equals 0.120.12035. Okay. Now we got to work with C. Take that amount, by the CD rate from Maybank rate. Okay, now we've got to do our sine negative 1 times C, cos negative 1 times C.
Do.
Correct?
Do.
Okay, so C in this case is 1.29858. 29858, and it's the inverse, So I just have to, because I haven't yet figured out how to do the sine to the negative 1 with this calculator, so I just take the inverse of it.
Wait, there should be a button that says cosine minus 1.
I know, but for some reason on this there isn't.
Okay. Now be very careful here, because if you knew the angles and you've justified your angles for of your original tangent, you're going to want to make sure that those angles it will affect your the period, you know, the period between the two.
Yeah.
Be very careful with that. But let's just go with it. You're fine. But that's something you want to look at more. Plotting of those waves.
Is another form of the inverse of sine a sine?
Can be. Especially, and we told you not to use a JavaScript, but that's some of the issue with JavaScript is that is how it's portrayed.
Okay.
So that's why we say that's not your favorite way to do it. Okay?
Okay. So, that's this sine of the negative 1 has been the biggest annoyance. I got to try the a sine first.
That's fine. Compare them, you know. It's fun. Because, see, this way you'll know it. It'll be yours. And that's what we want, Nelson.
H, and then I got to go X. Oh, man. Inverse hyperbolic sine. No, I don't want
okay.
that.
Okay, good. Now, that's if you're plotting a quadrant of a convex or concave line segment.
Okay, we want a sine, inverse sine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so a sine, and then I just close the bracket.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now let's see if that'll graph. I got to put X, though. Oh, there we go. X, closed. Okay, now that creates a sine wave that ends. It doesn't go the whole length of the. It doesn't continue. It's just a line in the center of the x-axis. Is that what it should be?
No.
It should be like a full wave.
It will be, yes.
Okay, right now I have the equation. Y1, open bracket, X, close bracket, X, I mean, open, like, X in brackets equals A sine bracket 1.29858 X, closed bracket. Maybe I've got too many X's.
Sounds like you have, yeah.
Y1. Why does it times?
But we're trying, but see, you're focusing on the formula. And that's brilliant. However, you don't have the pictorial of what you're trying to make a formula regarding, in our opinion.
Well, right now, what I'm trying to do is project. I want to project a wave to the left of the B1, A1 tangent. No,
correct.
To the left of C, actually. And
well, to the left of C. And the part of that wave you're interested in is the part that falls between the B1, A1 and the AB tangent, you see.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So, but the wave will go on forever, both ways.
Yes.
But the one that's you're interested in, see, you could run it left and right, because a wave is a wave. Yes?
Yep.
Because it would just be how you plot it of what, well, 1 pi, 2 pi, minus 1 pi, minus 2 pi, minus 3 pi, of how you plot it is the question, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, when I graph a sine, so y equals a sine bracket, 1.29858X close bracket, it doesn't go on forever. It's just like a little squiggly
line. Well,
then
that wouldn't be correct, would it?
No, it's not.
So there's your tail. Good.
So maybe I should just times the whole thing by negative one.
Okay.
Does that give me the...
Yeah. See, so far, we don't show folks how to use a scientific or graphing calculator.
Uh-huh. You just sort of, you let them figure it out.
Because when you start using chip body to prove chip body, you may catch a chip in the ace.
Okay, so I've got time.
Or at least get a chip
six.
On your shoulder. That's where it came from, isn't it?
Yeah. So times negative one flips it. It creates the same waves, but flips what now is a trough is a peak.
So
and
apparently
what
the issue is the wave, if the wave isn't continuous.
It's continuous now.
Oh, well, success.
Because I times it by negative one.
Very good, which is a negative cosine and negative sine of a wave. Good. But see, you know that. You just made the calculator do what you know. Now, as long as that's the case, you're in like Flynn. But when you start saying, well, it's got to be this because the calculator said, see, that won't. Because, see, you're going to love this when you're working out your details in radians, of course. Pi is going to change.
Oh, really?
Soon.
Okay.
But now that won't make a difference to you until it does.
Now, this is another thing that I think I screwed up the last time. In order to find our new x-axis, our horizontal axis,
uh-huh.
I need to take the answers for y. Like, right now when I find the
answers for
point,
y, describe which y?
The y of the intersection point of the negative c's.
Easy. No, think about that a second. You have the... okay, say it again so you can catch up where you are. Because
okay.
If you listen to what you're asking, you're like, wait a second, is there a new third tangent? Okay. And
okay,
if there
right
is,
now,
that's fine through C. That's fine, but it would have no effect of AB or B1A1, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay.
Okay,
we just want this to be logical so that we're not agreeing to something that's a bit nonsensical. But you're all right. No problem.
Okay, right now I've got sine times 1.29858x times negative 1 and cos times 1.29858x to the times negative 1. And the intersection points, I'm looking to basically, I'm looking to find my new x-axis, correct?
Correct, yes.
So
and you plot those points,
In order to find my new x-axis, I need to look and see which intersection point is landing between the AB tangents. I mean the AB and B1A1, correct?
Absolutely. You look at all of them that are between those two periods, because that's what that is a span of time.
And then I take the y value of that intersection point and add it to
Palmer, hold on. Plot those points from the minus sine cosine of your angle of C, because remember the angle's how you draw these, plot these waves. So you C and C2, they share the same angle. So they're the same. That's a constant, isn't it? Okay. So you plot those waves from C.
Yes.
Back towards your original AB line segment or tangent.
Am I looking to the left of Y?
Which why?
The why that is now. Like, I'm plotting them on a graph, right?
Yeah.
I'm plotting these waves on a graph.
Yeah.
Do I make y, like the graph that I'm plotting these sine waves on, should I make y my B1, A1 tangent and then look
no.
to the left?
No.
No, okay.
You start the wave from the pinpoint value of C.
Okay, that's what I did.
Yeah, there you go. Because it would be confusing. That's the reason we like the way you labeled every single aspect. Because then you don't confuse it. Because when you'd say, do I change or reconcile a new Y? And we'd say, which Y? Because now if you do that, which you really would, you'd have three new Y-axes, would you not?
You'd have three new Y-axes.
Well, if you're doing a minus sine cosine from the justified angles of pulling a radian of a wavelength, then your C point would also include a y-axis, which would
yes.
then be a third axis, because remember your C and C2 pinpoint is indeed to the right of your B1, A1 tangent, which
yes.
if you remember is also a y.
Yes.
See? So
yes.
your words weren't so horrible, but when you're asked the question from that position, it's very easy
yeah.
to get tangled up. You'd say, well, yeah, I'll just start
sure.
it from B1, A1 and go from there. Well, that's not incorrect, but that has nothing to do with the minus sine minus cosine of the angled value of C in C2.
Good. So
it was just, it would, now Bob would call that tactility, but it's a great point because now when you retrieve your new A2 value and place it on the new X horizon, mystery landscape, but you know how he is about his chart, then you can exactly calculate what A2 is.
Okay, so right now I have sine to the negative 1, cos to the negative 1 of C, and I'm looking at the wave, okay?
Uh-huh.
And there's an intersection point at 0.6048 and negative 0.7071.
That's
okay?
your, which is your frequency,
which
or your
is my
period.
Frequency?
If you plot those waves, Nelson, you got to plot them. You're going to be from that place, you're going to have minus 1 pi, minus 2 pi, minus 3, and then the up, you're going to plot the up, and then the trough, you're going to plot the trough, and then it repeats the tightness
yes.
or the looseness of the wave. You're going
yeah.
to plot that in a negative position.
Yes,
okay.
It's negative.
Yes. So
on y.
That negative would be below the new, or if you plotted the original C on the x-axis, it would be
yes,
below
C.
Below, it would
yes.
be below that old x value. And,
yes,
and
it's below.
It, right.
It's
That's fine.
Below by the y value of the intersection point. Correct.
So,
it's below.
Wouldn't below y?
No.
It would be
but
right
the,
or left of y.
No, it's the, like, what value am I looking at? And what value do I need from this plotting the intersection points that land between the two tangents of sine negative 1 C and cos to negative 1 C?
Okay.
I only need a horizontal.
You don't need the value.
Line,
you need to plot the waves on the graph.
Yes, that's what I've got. I've plotted the waves, but now I
okay.
need to mark where my new x.
Okay.
New
okay.
X
now here's all right. Now if you've got every point between those A, B, and B1, A1, okay, every point, peak and or trough, that intersects on your minus sine minus cosine of C. Got it. Now
yes,
you look at between. You go ahead and finish your sentence.
There's only one intersection point to the left in between the two tangents.
And it falls?
Beneath the x-axis.
Okay. So there is no peak in that equation?
there's no peak that none of the waves strike a peak between
Between. So they strike a peak exactly where?
To the right of and to the left of the two tangents.
Okay. So it's a very broad, loose wave. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and the numbers are so small.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have none? You have
no
none.
Peak.
No peak.
No peaks.
And your only intersection point is in a trough.
Yes.
And so therefore none are inside the triangle, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so if there is no peak and there is only a trough and none intersect inside the triangle.
Yeah, I have to move my x-axis. New x-axis is formed below the old x-axis.
Okay. Now, your equation that you got was how close? Well, basically, the value of your A divided by V divided by the B divided by the...
That value is 0.12035.
Okay, so that's telling you something is afoot, because if your new x value is below, okay, and then you calculate your new position from that minus place, it's going to get you back to a flat rate, isn't it? There'd be very little change.
Smaller.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you do that, try it and see how far off you are from what the known value is.
Okay, so right now what I would have to do, if the new x-axis lands at negative 0.7071,
mm-hmm.
correct?
It would be
negative 0.7071.
Would be your new x-axis, and you draw that out.
Yep.
Okay. And then you would plot your A2 value from that x-axis would be?
Okay, so it would be negative, let me just see this. It would be negative 0.7071.
Okay.
Negative,
and you would put that on that B1A1. Uh-huh.
Plus the
your
A2 the point value. 0.12. Okay. Okay.
Well, and you get?
So negative 0.7071 plus 0.12035 equals a negative number.
Fine. Go ahead.
Negative 0.58.
Okay, so negative plot the on your B1A1, plot that value on your graph from the new x-axis.
Equals negative 0.58675. Okay, so that.
Okay, your original price of A was?
My original price of A was 1.60049.
Okay. And based on your calculations, you're saying your new A2 value is?
Negative 0.58675, so it's wrong.
It would be incorrect. And where you're off is plotting your waves now. You're plotting your waves is where you're off. Okay, and you can look at it. You can even Google that information. Google, from a ridiculous question. Hey Google, how do I plot a wave on a flat piece of paper?
So you're saying the.
you're missing the plotting of your wavelengths themselves.
You're saying that the equation's wrong?
We're saying we don't care. We don't care about equations. We care about your process of plotting your wavelengths for your intersection points. Because it would very likely, your first value of A, describe exactly what that was.
The first value of A is the price of the pound dollar.
Okay. So, and based on your calculations that you've triangulated, you're saying that it's going to be minus 0.52?
Yeah, minus 0.586.
Okay. So that seems a bit odd that it would go down a half a pound in 10
yeah.
days.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. It's not correct.
It's not even within the realm. When typically
no.
it might be like a thousandth of a point move. You know what I'm saying? That's logical.
Yeah.
To do that up and down in a day, within a trading day. And that's the exact value because you've done all your divisions and your points. Okay? So
wait,
then you have to look.
A2 is supposed to be the price, not how much it's moved, correct?
That's correct. Should be your new value. Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
And where you're going to find that the shift is in how you've plotted the wavelengths themselves.
Okay, and how I'm plotting the wavelengths, or is
yep.
it the relationship between the wavelengths and the prices?
Nope, it's how you're plotting the wavelengths.
Well, other than...
You're doing it in radians, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay, so your radians would have to include the justification of your angles, wouldn't it?
Right now, the equation I'm using to plot the wavelengths is sine times the number x, and
okay.
that's it.
That should be justified within a triangle. Because
yeah.
you're creating tangents, don't you have rules about how that plots?
I don't understand why.
Because you're plotting a sine wave without reconciling your angles. That's why.
How should I reconcile the angles?
Google. Describe graphing sine cosine waves, and it'll show you.
Why the only difference between this, the way we move forward through this equation and the last one was the ratios. And
mm-hmm.
because of we made the numbers a larger ratio, there mm-hmm. were more intersection points between the tangents.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if you reconcile, but still it wasn't exact. It was back to horseshoes and hand grenades.
But we also didn't use the Maybank rate properly.
Correct. So, fine. And so, but then this is simple because you still got the information. You just want to make sure you're accurately plotting your waves. Wavelengths are... remember, we talk about like sound, like a pipe organ does not come out like a water hose. It goes
yep.
wide open, you see?
See, the sine of 90 is 1. The sine of 0 is 0. And then between that, per angle,
the sine changes. Hold on. The sine of 90 is 1, but that's in radians. You've got to gauge and calculate that from a justified right angle position, do you not?
Yes.
Okay. So if you do that carefully, then you would be exact, and then start the wave itself from A, or if it's cosine, the minus, they intersect. You know that, but the plotting of that exactly, you'd have to pull it. And if your triangle is not a right angle, then you just have to justify those angles to make that work out. Then when you pull your minus sine cosine, you will find that you'd have a more justified x-axis.
I don't, other than placing, other than putting in the equation, I don't know how to.
Okay, forget the equation. If
okay.
if you had a triangle, and you're
yeah.
you're plotting wavelength, go through the function of actually doing it on a piece of paper, how you would graph the sine and the cosine wavelengths, and you'd have to attribute the value, and you'd go 1 pi 2 pi 3 pi 4 pi 5 pi on an axis, and then you'd get how the point repeats, the frequency, the period. Then you would also have peaks and trough, and they would repeat. And then the tightness or the looseness of that plotted wave, you'd start from the A point, and you'd go a swerve up and go down to the bottom and up to the bottom, and you'd plot that exactly. Then you do the same thing for cosine, which would start a little 1 minus 1, and you'd start the same wave plot, okay? And then you would look at where they intersect. And then you're only interested in the ones between those two tangents. And so you're off a little bit from what you're doing, because if you justified the angles from those tangents, you'd see that C is not justified. That helps.
Okay, so justifying an angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're doing it from the plotting. All that's happening here, here's all that's happening, is the calculator is doing what you tell it to do.
Yeah.
And what you're telling it to do is not in a justified position. That's why we don't get into the scientific graphing calculator positions, because those values that it gives you are correct based on what you're telling it to do. But if you get how to plot the wave itself, then you would know, just as we kind of laid it out here visually, Nelson, all you do is just get re-justify, because you know it's not correct, okay? So what about the correctness of this? Are you off by? Well, obviously it's in your plotting of your minus sine minus cosine value of C and C2.
Couldn't there be issues regarding the sine and cosine waves of A and B as well?
If there's a doubt, yes, correct. But once you're plotting, you say, oh, we'll do it this way. Do it this way. Look it up this way. Here we go. We're trying to take a vibrational frequency and put it on a two-dimensional plane or a flat piece of paper. Calculate it or use your looky box to find out the exact process to do it without a calculator. There you go. If you can do it without a calculator and plot your points and then connect the points of making the little swirlies, you would know exactly where those are. Now, we're not saying to do it by hand every time, but we're just saying do it one time by hand so you know the function within this long, broad equation that applies. Because at this point, like you said, I think I may have too many X's. Well, exactly. But if you do it from a laid out by hand application, there'll be no room for it would be very, 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 very precise, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Same way even within ratio from size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
that's it.
Go at it that way. And then once you get comfortable at that level, Nelson, then to convert that into a computer program, even then you have to be a calculator. Hell, you can pull it from just a regular program, for Pete's sake. It'll tell you exactly, and it'll work every single time. And then it becomes known and by rote.
well, I understand every single thing that is going on within the visual aspects of it, but I don't understand. Like, there seems to be so much potential screw ups.
No. That's the reason we're trying to do the visual. See, if you do it visually, there's no room for screw up.
Because right now, like, I understand what I have to do with C to the negative. You're trying to project to the left of C the actual wavelength in order to find where your new A is going to be placed.
And your question that you're not answering is, since you're in radians, okay, since you're in radians, which you are, then you have to justify the radian within the triangle, because this is triangulation. And then that'll adjust your wavelength. So it's just that tiny little step that you got to get comfortable with, and you will. Take about a minute, then you're
is
good.
Is there something that I need to do that I'm not doing?
Yes.
Like, should I be? What should I be doing then with C?
Justify your angles between A, B, and C.
Justifying your angles.
Yeah, justify the angles of A, B, and C. That's how you check your work. Because if you can justify your angles of A, B, C, then you know exactly where you'd fall. Or if it was off, you'd see exactly where it was off by. Because if you don't have 180 degrees, something's afoot, isn't it?
I don't have 180 degrees.
Well, then something's afoot, isn't it?
So you're saying, do I have to change the number of C?
No, you don't. You just got to justify it from the sine wave from C.
Justify it from the sine wave from C. Okay.
Good. Now play with that. You'll get to re-listen to it. Now go through it and lay it out. Try it like we said of how you actually would plot it without the calculator. And if you can do it that way and know exactly what you're processing, then to have the computer do it for you will take 1 second. And then you'll know, and it'll work every single time without failure exception. And also get as precise as you can with your May bank rate. And then this will book with a little bit of practice. You'll go, holy fuck, this is too cool for school.
Okay, there you have it.
Very, 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 very good. Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, forever, Thomas Edison.